The following program is part of the Inner Circle Podcasting Group. Go to innercirclecomics.com for more high-quality podcasts.
Answer my question! The question, jerk!
Hey, listen, nerds. It's time for another Two-Headed Nerd Answer of the Week podcast with Joe and Matt.
No grunting this week. The internet has spoken. You don't like the grunting. Oh. They said it sounded like we were pooping, not grunting, which is gross. And that's not what we do here. We didn't come here to poop.
We were pooping.
To play the answer of the week.
Oh.
My name's Matt Baum. I'm one of the hosts of the
You don't poop when we do this?
Not usually.
Okay. Noted.
Okay, awkward. My name is Matt Baum, and I'm one of the hosts of the Two-Headed Nerd Comic Book Podcast. Sitting across from me is my co-host and trusty sidekick, because I'm the hero of this operation.
Whatever.
Joey Patrick. Joey, say hi.
Hey.
Where do we find you on Twitter?
I'm at JoePatrick116.
It's great. Sometimes you can find him at Two-Headed Nerd on Twitter, too.
Usually, yeah.
Usually way more than me. But it's not what we're here to talk about today. Today, we're here to talk about the answer of the week. Every week, Joe Patrick posts the question of the week on the Two-Headed Nerd forums. You can go there and answer with all the other super smart kids that write incredible answers, by the way. Or you can call us at 402-819-4894. Leave us a message with your answer. Or you can send us an MP3 recording of your answer to twoheadednerd@gmail.com. All we ask, keep it south of 2 minutes. We got to share the air, all right? This cannot be a 7-hour show. I have a life. I have things to do. I have a wife to ignore while I play video games. Okay, you guys? But before we get started, Joe Patrick, you got to refresh and reset this week's question.
This week's question came from our forum user, Bobby CF. What's something basic about comics that is pretty well understood by comic readers that you completely missed at first? Bobby gave an example. I'm hoping he called in.
This example's so great.
I don't think he did, though.
I don't think he did.
Because he refuses to. No, I have no other choice but to assume that because Bobby refuses to call in, he must be Mystery Husband.
Stop that. Why are you doing this? Why must you dig? No, he's not Mystery Husband. Leave him alone. Stop it. Mystery Husband's a mystery.
Anyway, that was the question. You'll get the gist of it as we go along. I don't really need to go into too much detail because it's too late for you.
Before we start, though, let's introduce this week's cocktail of the week. We're calling it the No Prize, after the Marvel No Prize of the days of old.
Yeah.
When you would
don't
catch...
go into it, guys. I'll go into it later.
Oh, gotcha. Oh, I see. So the No Prize, you take a shaker. You drop in 3 raspberries or blackberries. I used raspberries, fresh. You muddle them with a lime wedge, 3 leaves of basil, and 1 sugar cube.
Basil?
If you don't have a sugar cube, you can use 1 teaspoon of cane sugar. Same amount, all right? Muddle, 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 which means take a whatever you got and smash it up.
A mortar and a pestle.
Smash it up in the bottom, right? You then pour 2 ounces of tequila and 1 ounce of freshly squeezed grapefruit juice. Add ice. Shake, 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 shake. Then pour over rocks into a rocks glass. It's this beautiful shade of pink. If you use blackberries, it'll be purple, right? Whatever you want. It looks like pink ink right now. Gorgeous.
It looks like ruby red grapefruit.
You can stop and you can have a nice little cocktail there, or you can do what we did and top it with ginger beer for an even more exotic experience. And we need to get through all this fucking ginger beer.
Did you try it without the ginger beer?
I did. It was good. Excelsior.
Excelsior. I'm never going to know now because mine's got ginger beer in it.
Son of a bitch, that tastes like a health tonic. That is delicious.
That's good.
Woo! If you don't have the ginger beer, you just have a tequila smash. If you do, you have the no prize.
Ha ha! Let's get into it, man. Anthony, currently residing in Brooklyn. What would he say? Frisiding. Currently
frisiding
in Brooklyn.
I like that.
Some nerds, Anthony currently, insert verb here, Brooklyn. I love the Nuff Said reference. Like, that used to drive me nuts as a kid.
Oh, well, now
like,
I
who
guess.
Is Nuff and what is he saying?
I feel like
the thing
it.
That I didn't understand that, like, comic book readers probably know especially now, is that comic books follow a release schedule. Like that, I had no idea. See, I was a spinner rack kid, so I'd roll into a grocery store, convenience store, randomly pick up stuff off a spinner rack, and if there was another issue of something I really wanted to read, I would just pray it was there the next time that I went there. And it even tells you at the end of the comic, see you in 30 days, but like that, like, what? I'm not going to mark that on my calendar. The only dates I cared about as a kid were Christmas and my birthday. So the fact that the comics actually dropped on a certain day, a certain time, like, no clue. Like, I even started going to a comic book shop on the regular in high school, and a pull list was never offered to me. Maybe they didn't do it, but like, I would roll in and scour the shelves and find stuff. It wasn't until I went to college, and that's like, we're talking 15 years of comic book collecting, that a pull list was offered to me. And this was Double Play Comics in Mankato, Minnesota. And, you know, the lady, the shopkeeper there, I think her name was Janie, was like, you know, let's get you a pull list. And you come down every Wednesday. That's when the new comic books come out. And I'm like, wait, what? New comic books on Wednesday? She's like, yeah, every Wednesday the comic books come out and you come on down. And I was like, whoa. Every single Wednesday there's brand new comics I can just get? And she's like, yeah. Have you ever seen previews? And I was like, well, sure, before every movie. And she's like, no. Here's previews. And it was just, I was like, what? And there were like release dates, specific release dates. Like, I would know when comic books would come out, and it was every single Wednesday. It blew my mind. And it created, like, you know, a wonderful routine for me, new comic book Wednesday. So, yeah, that's my answer. Thanks.
Anthony did not know where comics came from, or that they happened on a monthly basis.
Well, you see, Anthony, when a writer and an artist love each other very much.
It's true.
They share a special love handshake and a comic book is born. Yeah, I mean, I get that. Like, when I was a kid, I didn't know when certain comics came out. I never thought about it, though, either. So it's not like it was a burning question I had, but yeah, I just came in and sometimes there'd be Spider-Man and sometimes there wouldn't be.
I knew that they came out on a schedule because I was buying them from a quick shop or from Osco Drug, and I knew that, like, I don't remember if I knew it was monthly, but I knew, like, if I went every few weeks there would be another X Factor, or there'd be another Thor, or there'd be another Daredevil. You know, so I figured that out.
Yeah, I guess I never really gave it that much thought until I was old enough to actually buy comics regularly.
Okay,
but yeah, good answer. Absolutely.
Moving right along to my man D. Murray.
How's it going, guys? I'm going to go beyond the comic books to answer this question. And if it's Jim Lee and Stan Lee. When I was, say, about 12, maybe 11 years old, I saw Jim Lee's name everywhere because it was the 90s and he was everywhere. I thought that Jim Lee and Stan Lee were both related.
That's awesome.
You find out later on that Stan Lee is Stan Liebert, and he's an older Jewish man. And Jim Lee is an American Asian fellow. Had no clue what Jim Lee looked like. All I knew what Stan Lee looked like us watching the older Fantastic Four, Incredible Hulk, Power Hour. Or, you know, on like the Kids Fox Network. That's how I saw Stan Lee, and of course Mallrats. But I had no idea that Jim Lee was Asian. So me as a kid, I thought they were, like, you know, related to each other. You got the Kuberts, you got Romita and his kid, you got Dave Doctor Jr., you got all these other guys with the lineage too. I thought Jim Lee and Stan Lee was also related. But yeah, that's my answer. Did not know that Jim Lee and Stan Lee were not related to each other. Take it easy, guys.
Makes perfect sense.
Yeah, I mean,
they're both named Lee.
Two guys named Lee in comics.
Come
industry,
on. Yeah.
Both working for Marvel. I get it. I totally get that.
That's great.
I credit Wizard Magazine for helping me know what a lot of comic creators look like.
Yeah, they were really in before the internet
days.
That was the only place that you could really see pictures of creators.
I mean, there were other magazines too, but.
But it was Wizard is what we all read.
Yeah. And sometimes, like, Marvel and DC would have pictures of their creators in their books or something, but
yeah,
it was rare.
Rarely. Yeah. That's a good one. I like it. Amy from North Dakota. Here's somebody with a North Dakota, Minnesota kind of accent for you. Huh? I will say, Anthony, we didn't comment on that. Great accent. He nailed that. Minnesota.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Come on down and you pick up your pull file and yeah, the comics will be here every week. Huh? It's take it away, Amy.
Hey, nerds. Amy and D calling in for the comic misunderstandings question of the week. Hopefully I'm not way off here, but I took this question to mean things comic book readers just know that noobs might not, or something like that.
That's it.
So My example is that I didn't know as a kid that Namor the Submariner and Aquaman were not the same guy. And now, before you go, but they look totally different and they're from different companies. I did not read comics until I was an adult, so like many kids, I got my facts from cartoons. Used to watch Super Friends all the time growing up, so I knew the basics of Aquaman's backstory, at least the Atlantis bit. Then sometime around the age of 10, my cousin gives me this book, not a comic, but like a kid's storybook. And I don't remember if it was X-Men or Avengers, but had an appearance by Namor. Not sure if it didn't call him by name or if I just didn't pick up that his name was effing Namor. Marvel didn't put it out there on Front Street for kids who maybe aren't as perceptive as others and call the guy who lives in the effing water, you know, Aquaman. All I got was dude plus water plus superpowers plus Atlantis equals Aquaman, obviously. So cut to many years later, I actually start reading comics and paying attention. There I am, flipping through Civil War, and there's Namor in all his Marvel glory. Well, by now I know that Aquaman is a DC character, so I'm all like, who the... Oh, Marvel has a water guy too, only he's got black hair and elf ears. So, read the Marvel Wiki, got it all cleared up. Possible hook hand, definite trident, scale shirt, boy band hair equals Aquaman. Spock ears, mutant powers, and black spandex that looks like it came out of Freddie Mercury's closet equals Namor. Not the same guy. Check. And that book from my childhood made a lot more sense. So that's my comic misunderstanding. Good thing after actually becoming a comic reader, I now give zero craps about either of them, even with Jason Momoa's abs. Later, nerds.
Okay, so real quick, for those of you who still aren't clear, differences. Namor, shirtless. Aquaman, shirt. Namor,
occasionally shirtless.
Wings on feet.
Aquaman, no wings.
No wings. Namor, into blonde white bitches. Aquaman, into redheads.
No.
Yeah, Namor.
Oh, yeah, Sue Storm.
Are you kidding me? Yeah. He loves blondies.
I was thinking of his Atlantis wife, Dorma, or whatever her name was.
Yeah.
She was blue.
I think they kind of wrote that. I think she was like, you know, he had some stuff on the side.
Yeah, he loves Sue Storm.
He loves.
Aquaman is into gingers. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And Emma Frost, too. Woo. You can't get enough of her.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Namor has black hair. Aquaman is blonde.
Which came first, the Namor or the Aquaman? This is a tough one.
Namor, I believe.
Namor came first.
1941.
Yes, he was the first one. And then Aquaman. So
1940 or 41, whenever Marvel Comics number one came out.
Something like that. Amy, thank you for your call.
You know, I totally get it. Like,
yeah, as a
you
kid?
You could have even thought that Namor was Aquaman's first name.
Yeah.
Like, Clark is Superman's first name.
Sure. I mean, why not? They're both... very similar.
Do you know how many grown-ass adults come to me and ask me questions as though Marvel and DC are the same thing? They just don't get it. It's not the sort of thing that most people have to think about, you know?
Right.
So we take it for granted.
Oh, man, the Orca, he sends us an email. He didn't have time to record. He said, feel free to read this on the pod. I want to compliment both of you on episode 249. The Wonder Woman piece was great. The pod Matt mentioned was cool. I listened to it on my flight. It's like Serial for nerds. It's imaginary worlds. Great show. But the star of the episode was the Defenders segment. Just perfection. Charlie Tron rocked it, even if it wasn't enough to win. And you guys, with the different voices and bits as the cops, were the bee's knees. Submit this episode for the Eisners. Oh, the title alone should win, which was Intensely Bisexual. Yeah. Keep up the great work, and I'll be back next week unless I drown in baby oil. Kiss, kiss, boys.
Thanks, the Orca.
Thank you for the update, the Orca. We'll miss you this week.
The AVN Awards.
Oh, my. Let's get on to Randy Andrews. I'm sure he misunderstood something. He's a pretty smart guy, but I bet he missed something.
Greetings, Joe and Matt. This is Randy Andrews emailing in for the question of the week. This week, you asked about common things with comics that we just didn't understand or get when we first got into comics. Well, guys, my experience was that I didn't quite understand how to read the comic panels correctly. Was it up to down? Was it left to right? Was it right to left? Whatever. Now, I read my comics with ease, and usually am not confused when it comes to reading the panels correctly. Well, that's my answer this week, guys. Hope you liked it. Check out my soundtrack blog at soundtrackalley.net, and my music this week is called Come On! by Cal Otani from the Outlaw Star soundtrack.
Come on!
See you guys in a week. Bye for now.
I like the emphasis you got on that song title. Randy had trouble following the panels, but the good news is he doesn't have trouble anymore.
He's doing much better now. Yeah, I mean, it can be tricky.
I will say, Casey comes on the show every once in a while and does like Casey Explains It All or something, or she would review a comic book. And when we first started it and I just like threw a comic book at her, she did not know how to read it. It didn't just make sense that you kind of go from right to left. And sometimes the panels
this is America.
Sorry.
You go from left to right.
And sometimes the artist will make the panels point to the panel you're supposed to go to creatively, or the dialogue will just sort of, you know, S through the page.
Or even the movement of the characters will indicate where your eyes should go.
We don't necessarily think about that anymore because it's so ingrained in us.
And, I mean, some artists are bad at it.
Yeah, some artists are bad at it. But if you stick a comic book in front of someone that's never read it, yeah, that's tricky.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, it's one of those things that I take for granted being a lifelong comic reader that, like, yeah, it's not everybody just inherently understands the visual language of comics. And there's a talent to it that not every artist possesses. So
Jesse Kiefer hits us. He says, oh, guys, fortunately and unfortunately, you need to send out like a bajillion parent release forums to record kids at school. Otherwise, I'd just record some kids talking about comics because that would be truly enlightening. I would love to hear kids talk about the stupid think it's going on in comics.
That would have been awesome.
He didn't teleport in.
Robot! Hold on. Baby!
Giant! Robot! Joe and Matt, it's Jesse from GrawlixPodcast.com. This question is awesome, but really hard to answer. I'm an elementary teacher, so I hear incredible kid logic all day long. So I know in my bones that I'm forgetting something far better than I can offer you today, but I've got what I got. Aside from my epic Power Records Batman and Superman vinyls, I was very much a Marvel kid, so when I'd flip through price guides, I'd see pictures of giant-size X-Men or giant-size Fantastic Four. Well, for whatever reason, I didn't realize that this referenced the length of the book. I mean, it says on the cover 68 big pages. I guess I thought that the pages were literally bigger. You know, like when you buy a poster book and it's actually a book of posters. And the oversized books in the library are too big for the regular shelves. So I thought that the Marvel giant size comics were like poster books, but with comics inside. My adult brain still gets excited when I see these bad boys out in the wild, but I still catch myself thinking, geez, with a name like giant size, I thought they'd be taller. Anyways, that's all I've got for you guys this week. I feel like the only appropriate way to end this answer is enough said.
Yeah, I knew he wouldn't let me down. He knows how much we love it.
When I first picked up Giant Size Man Thing, number one, I thought it was about a guy with a huge tool, you know? Like it was going to be the adventures of this extremely well-hung dude.
You just had to go there.
As my friend Phil Schaffer likes to say, like he has something different in his pants.
Whoa.
You're hauling around something different. Thought giant size meant something else as a kid. Yeah. It's a giant size X-Men. The other X-Men didn't say that.
What?
Wake up.
I don't know what happened there.
Wake up, you jackass. Pay attention.
I don't know what happened there.
Jesse, thank you for your call. It's Damon Chan's turn. Wake up.
Damon from Brooklyn calling in for the question of the week. You asked us about our comic book misunderstandings, and mine involved the roster of the Justice League. To elaborate, I began reading comics in the early 90s, or I should say really started seriously reading and collecting comics. This is pre-internet time, before you could research about characters and teams and things like that. You can only really go by trading cards or back issues. Luckily, I discovered Wizard Magazine, but that's a whole other story. The concept of the super team I got with Marvel. The Avengers consisted of the best of the best. Thor, Captain America, Iron Man, those guys are always the backbone of the team. For some reason, because I had only to go by were some later issues of the Justice League International, I really thought that that team that was on the Justice League International was always the Justice League. I never knew that Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman all teamed on the, you know, together at one point. Even though people used to tell me that, I didn't believe him. I'm like, that's crazy. You must be thinking of the Super Friends or something like that. But yeah, for a while, you know, all those, everyone in Justice League International was by Justice League. And to re-elaborate, that consisted of Batman putting together an eclectic group of heroes, to say the least. Blue Beetle, Booster Gold, Captain Marvel, Martian Manhunter, Black Canary. And they added, like, a little bit later in that run, like Fire and Ice and Rocket Red. But for a while, I really thought that was my Justice League, or, you know, was the Justice League. And I read it right up to Justice League Europe when they started adding characters like Maxima and Tasmanian Devil. But you know what? Even though we all know the classic incarnation of the Justice League, those characters still have a place in my heart. Always will, I guess. I still love Booster Gold, Blue Beetle, and yeah, it's what it is. Okay, guys, I'll talk to you next time. Bye.
Didn't know the difference between the JLA and the JLI.
I had a similar situation, sort of in reverse. Like, I remember being on vacation with my family in Minnesota, and we were at the Holiday Station in Walker, Minnesota, and they had a rack of comics there.
Okay.
And on that rack was Superman number 2.
Okay.
And at that point, I had already been reading, so that would have been 1980, or maybe it was Man of Steel number 2, regardless. It was 1986 or 7. So I had already been reading comics for a number of years.
Okay.
And I knew, like, wait a minute. There's no way that can be Superman number 2. There's no way.
So you made a logical assumption that 99% of the population in the world could not make.
Yeah, I'm just like, and so it's sort of like the reverse problem is with Damon. Like, I knew of the history behind the character of Superman, and I could not fathom, like, what the hell is this magazine that says Superman number 2?
Right.
What is it?
Like, working in a comic book store, you get calls every day. I have Superman number 1.
Yeah, sure you do.
No, you don't. Yeah, I do. It says number 1 right on the cover. It's got Superman holding a cell phone and he's riding a skateboard. It says number 1. You know, like, come on, man. You know.
But yeah, I can totally understand it from Damon's perspective, where, like, if you started reading, like, here you have it right here. This is Justice League number 1.
Yeah.
From 1987.
What is this other Justice League crap? What are you talking about?
Yeah, I get it. Totally get it.
It's still confusing for a lot of people. Thank you for your call, Damon. I forgot we were going to refer to him as Damon, our man on the street.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
He's our man on the street because he usually calls from the street.
Right.
And if you can, Damon, I ask that you always do. Just call us while you're walking on the street. I love it. The traffic in the background.
But we have to then introduce him every time. Like, let's go to our man on the street, Damon Chan.
I love it. Josh Rector hits us, and he has a rad name because you can go Josh Rector.
Hey guys, it's Josh here with my answer of the week. What comics concept did I misunderstand for way too long? And for me, the answer really has to be DC's multiverse. I came to DC in the late 90s, and while I knew there was a story called Crisis on the Infinite Earths, and that it was a big deal and it cleaned up DC's messy continuity, I didn't really know what that meant or the scope of it all. And you couldn't actually read Crisis back then because the art was apparently too expensive to reproduce for less than $200 a book. So, needless to say, there weren't any in print. I read Zero Hour, but to me it was more of a story about Hal Jordan going bad than it was about time shenanigans. I remember when The Kingdom came out and made a big deal about hypertime, and that seemed like a really redundant concept to me, but didn't really matter because no one ever mentioned it again.
Hypertime!
It wasn't until 2005 that I was smacked right in the face with the multiverse. I read the first issue of Infinite Crisis, I watched the plot build to a crescendo, I turned that final page and it revealed a really old Superman, another Superman, an old lady, and a ginger in a metal leotard, and I had no idea any of it meant. So I hit the internet, did my research, learned all about the multiverse, the grandeur of it, the scope, the specificity, the density, the history, the long history of it all. So much history, you guys. And now I'm no longer ignorant of the multiverse, but I can't really say I'm that enthusiastic about it either. To me, it kind of smacks of continuity wankery, but probably a topic for another time. So DC's multiverse.
I love continuity.
That's my
wings.
Answer. Oh, that's yeah. my 2 minutes.
That's what
Thanks,
we,
guys.
That's what we like tune in for every week. I mean,
we thrive on it.
Hyper time. Let's talk about hyper time for a second.
Hyper time.
Hyper time. When was that?
Hyper time. Hyper time was introduced in The Kingdom, which okay. was Mark Waid's sequel to Kingdom Come.
This is when DC decided that everything that ever happened in a DC comic happened in regular DC continuity.
Well, I mean, yes and no. It was DC's way of saying everything counts.
Yes, it all counts
on some level.
Superman hung out with the Muppets.
Yeah, right. Right. Like, here is a
Superman Thundercats. Hyper time. But we used to have a saying when everyone would bring it up, when people are like, that is so dumb. And they just start yelling stuff out that like these weird mini series that DC would do. And Joe Patrick would point and go, hyper time. And people would be like, shut up. Stop it.
People got so bent out of shape about hyper time.
I hated it. I thought it was the dumbest shit.
No, because it's not like you're going to see like classic Superman story where he gets turned into a baby because of red kryptonite referenced in the modern day. I mean, nobody was opening the door for that sort of shenanigans. It was just a way to say, hey, look, these stories are all important to the history and legacy of our characters.
It was a de facto way of saying yes.
And it was also kind of like the return of
Superman forced Jimmy to marry female King Kong because he was a village witch doctor.
Yeah, that's right. It was just, and it was really the return of the DC multiverse I don't believe it had really been seen since the end of Crisis on Infinite Earths.
But it was one of those things where like certain creators kept sort of referencing it. And
there were no alternate Earths.
No, I mean,
until Hypertime kind of opened that door back up.
I guess you're right.
They were like, you know, they kind of sidestepped it by doing like
Elseworlds,
alternate timelines where it's like, oh, here's like a what if version where this happens,
right?
You know, but yeah, like just the straight up parallel, like Earth 2, you know, where the JSA live. Nope, that's not a thing. It was not a thing.
Nope. Until
Hypertime said, you know what? It's back, baby.
They're all things.
It's all out there somewhere.
Yeah.
And yeah, I love it. I still love the idea. I wish DC had kind of embraced it a little bit more, but
stupid.
There's nothing stupid about it. Again, what did you expect was going to happen? That all of a sudden now joining the Justice League,
Lion-O,
Sugar and Spike. No.
Millie the Model.
That's Marvel.
Whatever. Let's go to Jim Kettner.
Hey, Joan Matt, Kettner here. So I have a really easy answer for this one. If you ever pay attention to the hastily worded plugs at the end of all my calls, you'll know that I co-host a geek culture podcast called Galacticus with sometimes caller Scott Brown and my pal since 1985, John Mahaley. Now, the name Galacticus originated from my childhood mispronunciation of Marvel's favorite purple planet eater, Galactus.
All right.
What led to this mistake? I can't really say. When I was little, sometimes I would see some of the more exotically named characters and never really bother with the phonetics. I just see the name and know, yeah, big guy with fins on head, Silver Surfer's boss. For such a cosmic entity, surely the full word galactic must be in there somewhere. Anyways, it was a bad habit that must have survived until junior high, which was when me and some friends started playing the Marvel Superheroes role-playing game from TSR.
And when my friends and I
took on the stat blocks of Hulk, Thor, and Silver Surfer to see if we could beat Galacticus, I mean Galactus, it was pointed out to me that, yeah, I was failing to pronounce a simple three-syllable word.
Say
odds
of
laziness. Now, I want to take an extra couple seconds to give a shout-out to Bobby CF, who is an old pal of mine from way back when. I'm super stoked that he started listening and posting on the boards and coming up with fun questions like this one. Bobby rules and once sent me a whole run of hard-to-find, out-of-print Paul Pope THB comics because he got them and they just weren't his thing, and he thought that maybe they would find a better home in my long boxes. Thanks again, Bobby. You're a real prince. Anyways, that's all I've got for you this week, guys. I already plugged Galacticus, but you can also check out my other show, Adult Crash, on iTunes and my comics and illustrations at kettner.com.
They're all great. He's a Renaissance man. Great.
Okay.
Let's go through real quick our favorite comic book misprints. pronunciations.
Okay. Sabretooth.
Sabretooth's one of my favorites.
The Submariner.
The Submariner. I love that. And these are mispronunciations we heard from adults.
Yeah. Now, I never once heard somebody actually say Spectre, but we did make that joke a lot.
No, I heard people say Spectre. I absolutely heard people say that.
Spectre.
Amalgam when referring to amalgam comics.
Oh, Amalgam. Yeah, and we got
the
Amalgam.
The guy came in. You got any of those Amalgam comics?
We got Amalgam a lot.
I love me some Amalgam.
Yeah.
Magneto.
To be fair, though,
Joe, like, and
why
I,
isn't he called Magneto?
Because Magneto is how it's pronounced.
I understand, but he doesn't have the power of being neat. He's got the power of magnetism.
No, but when you refer to an actual Magneto, it is pronounced as a Magneto, Magneto. And not Magneto.
What kid knows that a Magneto is an actual thing?
It is a thing. Joe and I often fight about the pronunciation of Professor Charles Xavier's name.
Xavier? You mean Professor Xavier? It's only been pronounced Xavier in every cartoon and movie he's ever appeared in.
I would never say it that way. It's so
dumb.
You
moron.
You never pronounce the X unless it's X-ray. Right.
Wrong. So, to address his other points, Jim Kettner's comics are wonderful.
They're great.
He sent us some punk rock anthologies that he contributed to. I confess, Jim, I only read your stories because I didn't have that kind of time.
The other one sucked.
No.
But kidding. They were great.
I'll go back and look at them again, but I only had time to read a little bit. His new graphic novel that he's working on with his wife, I'm seeing the process, illustrations for it almost daily. They are wonderful.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Wonderful. I'm excited. Galacticus is great. Scott Brown is great. Bobby CF is great. Oh,
everything's great.
Bobby CF. When I read the question back from Bobby, I did not give Bobby's example because I thought maybe Bobby called in. He didn't because he's a coward.
Come on, Bob. You're not great.
But Bobby's example was the phrase Nuff said, the famous Marvel phrase Nuff said. He thought that Nuff was a character.
He was like running the bullpen.
That controlled reality in the Marvel universe. Like the Wolverine is fighting the Hulk next month. Nuff said.
Yeah.
Like it was Nuff's idea.
Like we didn't even want to do this, but Nuff came in, threw a fit, and so there, okay?
And that's why everybody keeps referencing Nuff said on their calls. Bobby, I'm just kidding. You're probably not a coward, but you should call in.
You're definitely not great until you call in, though. That's for certain. You know who is great? Black Scorpion the Three.
Nerds, I don't know if it was ego or age, but I was having a hard time thinking of some kind of comic convention that I just wasn't getting or that I didn't get at one time. And as I was putting aside comics for Black Scorpion number 4, the stuff I know he's going to flip through, I was going through the official handbook of the Marvel Universe and I saw all the entries for alien races. So there's the Mechons, the Mephitosoids, the Mindai, the Click-Click, the Lumina, the Laxidazians, the Lem, all kinds of races that you saw only once or twice. And I was reminded of something embarrassing. You see, when writers want you to know what aliens are saying, they'll put the brackets and then you'll see what they're saying in English. But if the writers don't want you to know what the aliens are saying, they'll put all kinds of characters and stuff as gibberish instead. So you see the characters, they're speaking some alien language, right? So what was strange to me, and what took me a long time to figure out, probably too long, probably till I was 12 or 13, was I always found it strange when Earth characters would be fighting and suddenly they'd switch to speaking this alien gibberish. They'd have a perfectly normal sentence like, I'm going to blank kill you. And right there would be the ampersand, the dollar sign, the hashtag, and the exclamation. How were these characters speaking this alien language? It was just bizarre to me. I didn't find out that this was how they were getting around comics codes and they were swearing for far too long. So that's my failed comics logic. All right. Happy 250th, nerd. You guys are so old.
I know. It's gross.
God, it's really depressing.
What is that called when they replace it? It's got a term.
Yeah, I don't know.
There's a name for that.
I don't know.
Oh, hold on. I got to look real quick because it's a great word. This is Jesse Kiefer. He knows the answer to this.
Is it Grolix?
They're called Grolixies.
Grolixies.
This is the term. I found it in the Lexicon of Comicana. Grolixes, typographical symbols standing for profanity, appearing in dialogue balloons in place of actual dialogue.
I bet you he's listening to this just screaming
the
at
Grolix
us.
Podcast. I was like, what the f*** does that mean?
I know. I thought it was like maybe their mascot or something.
Stomach condition.
Like the Grolix.
You know,
I'm the Grolix.
Boy, do I feel dumb.
Look at us. We just learned something. Okay. That's a comic misunderstanding in action. Look at that. Good one, BS3. That is a great. And you know what? When I was a kid, I didn't know what it was either. I remember looking at, like, every time Nick Fury, like, was yelling at somebody, he was like, what is going on there? I just thought it was a typo or something. Like, the guy that was typing the word balloon was like, oh, crap, ampersand, schwa, money sign. Just slipped right through. Let's go to the Google voicemail. It's our mystery husband. And if Joe Patrick exposes who he is, I'm going to f***ing divorce Joe.
Well, I'm not going to expose him.
Hey, honey, it's me. Just give me a call. I know you want me to open up more.
Oh, he's trying.
I was recently thinking about when we were shopping for rings a while ago. That back when I was a kid, getting into comics early, and especially with those comic cards, collectible cards. There's always talk about Silver Age and the Golden Age and the Bronze Age. I never, as a child, could figure out why these metals are so important to comics. and as I grew up, I realized that it was actually historical related. So that was embarrassing for myself, not for anybody else, because who else cares about that? There's a little tidbit. Still don't really understand the Bronze Age. So I'll talk to you later. Love you. Bye.
I love you too, mystery husband. And I don't understand the Bronze Age either. I don't get it. When does the Bronze Age end? When did it become the Modern Age? Are we still in the Modern Age? When does the Modern Age stop being the Modern Age and become part of the Bronze Age?
The Bronze Age, there's a lot of debate about when the Bronze Age begins.
Right.
I believe a lot of people think that the Bronze Age begins with the publication of Conan number one in 1970.
I've heard that.
Three or four, whatever year that was.
I'm going to search Bronze Age comics, Wikipedia. We're going to see what they say.
And I believe the Bronze Age ends with the publication of books like Watchmen and The Dark Knight Returns.
An informal name for a period in the history of mainstream American comic books, usually said to run from 1970 to 1985.
Yep.
Bronze Age retained many of the conventions of the Silver Age, with traditional superhero titles remaining the mainstay of the industry. However, a return of darker plot elements and more socially relevant storylines. Okay. Featuring real-world issues such as racism, drug use, alcoholism, urban poverty, and environmental pollution. Here it says, one such event. So the first issue of Green Lantern, Green Arrow by Denny O'Neill and Neil Adams. Other people say when Jack Kirby left Marvel Comics, ending the Silver Age, and he started the Fourth World in DC. That was also in 1970. Good Lord. There's a lot of arguments here.
Oh, yeah. Well, 1970 also is when Conan came out. So, right. I mean, it's also all those things are probably accurate.
Yeah.
Things kind of shifted back away from superheroes and you started having like horror comics again and barbarian comics and
right.
And mature themes like drug use. And
there's also people that say the murder of Spider-Man's girlfriend, Gwen Stacy.
I love Gwen Stacy.
Gwen Stacy. I like her a lot more than Gwen Stacy. She was way more interesting. So, yeah, I mean, it's kind of up in the air. There is no hardcore Bronze Age. That's still one we're all confused on. Good call. Very good call, mystery husband. Always good to hear from you. And I love you so much. I'm glad you're trying to open up. That's good. Yeah. Harvey Locust, he's our final caller. He says it's an uncanny answer.
You know what? He got it in on time.
Harv.
All right, nerds, I got one for you, and I also think I might have a Ask a Nerd in here, too. So let's just start off by saying I've always known for, you know, as long as I can remember, I've heard the term, you have an uncanny resemblance to so-and-so, you know. It's something I heard growing up. I don't know. I never knew exactly what it meant, but I always thought it was, you know, meant striking or strong or a very precise resemblance to somebody. So when I first started getting into X-Men, I didn't know that it was Uncanny X-Men. I thought it was pronounced Uncanny. And I would always call it Uncanny X-Men, and I'd get strange looks from people from time to time. But then it wasn't until I started working in a comic shop that I heard some people say uncanny, uncanny. And I'm like, what do you mean? What is uncanny? And they're like, yeah, this is Uncanny X-Men. I'm like, that's when it finally dawned on me. Oh, it's that Uncanny X-Men. Now, it wasn't until I started recording this, or, you know, getting ready to record this, that I actually looked up the definition of uncanny. And I did not know that it meant strange or weird or, I seriously didn't know that till now. So anyway, the other thing that I still don't know is in a lot of the X-Men books, when they go to England or whatever, a common saying that they write over there is Coor, C-O-O apostrophe E-R.
Coor, chief!
As in Coor, be still my ert. I have no idea what that means. I was hoping you nerds could help me out. All right, later.
I think Coor is just like an expletive. I remember Penfold and Danger Mouse said it all the time.
He's like, Coor, chief! How are we going to get out of this one?
Well, let's first, uncanny, full definition, strange or mysterious, especially in an unsettling way, which made sense for the X-Folks. They weren't that unsettling, I guess, but, you know, they were strange and mysterious. Coor. Definition.
Good luck Googling it, because all it does is come up with...
Okay. C-O-R is how it's spelled. A slang word used by the British, often employed by those with a Cockney accent, meaning God, possibly like goddamn or Coor blimey. It's believed to be derived from God blind me.
Coor, what a bloody wanker you are.
Translation, according to Urban Dictionary. God, what a f***ing jerk off. Or, God damn, you're a whack job. There you go.
All right, now we know.
Okay.
Ba-da-da-da.
We learned a lot. Who's your favorite? My favorite is Deeb. He thought Jim Lee was related to Stan Lee. In the notes, I wrote Jim Lee married to Stan Lee. I love that just because I make that joke all the time. Like whenever a name comes up, I just decide they're related to someone with the same name, even if it's spelled differently.
You know what? I'm going to give mine to Josh because I love the multiverse.
Okay. It was certainly a confusing one.
Even though he's not that enthused about it.
Neither am I. But what can you do? Okay, Joe Patrick.
Okay, yeah.
You got yours?
Yes, I do. I have mine. So the name of our cocktail this week is the No Prize. And for those of you that haven't been reading comics forever, the No Prize was a...
It was like a Marvel bullpen joke.
Yes, sure. The No Prize was a Marvel Comics kind of jokey prize that was given out to readers who would write in with explanations for why the mistakes that they found in Marvel Comics were not actually mistakes.
Yes.
So there's a continuity error of some kind, or
someone's drawn without a hand.
Right. Or like the color is off and the costume is green when it should be purple Iceman's or whatever.
Blue.
And then you would say, but it could be because of this reason that this is really why it's this way. And not just like the colorist or the writer f***ed up or whatever.
Right.
And if you had a compelling reason for why Marvel is actually much smarter than giving them credit where credit is not due.
Right. Well, why Thanos' word bubble was coming out of Reed Richards' mouth.
Right. Know? Yeah, exactly. then that editor or whoever was answering the letters would award you with a no prize. And for years and years and years, like all through my childhood, I was obsessed with the no prize. Like, what is the no? What's a no prize?
Did you want to win a no prize?
Of course I wanted to win a no prize. Okay. What is a no prize? At some point, like all young budding artists do, I drew up a bunch of pictures of Spider-Man and a bunch of other Marvel characters with colored pencils. I folded them in four into quarters.
Oh, my God.
And then I shoved them in an envelope with a letter and I mailed it to Marvel Comics.
Oh, my God.
Saying, I want to be a comic book artist when I grow up. Here's my drawings. And to Marvel's eternal credit, I got a letter from Marvel Comics on Spider-Man stationery.
No sh-
I got a form letter, a very polite form letter, the same form letter that they send out, I'm sure, to legit artists as well.
Submissions.
That they reject, you know, saying,
sorry, kid, you suck.
You know, you know, thanks, but no thanks. But maybe if you get a little work under your, you know, some more practice on your belt, blah, 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 blah. It was a very polite, and I was like just thrilled to get this letter. But what made it even better is that whoever wrote that letter hand wrote a note on the bottom, because in my letter, I said, P.S., please tell me what a no prize is. I have to know.
Okay.
And on this letter, whoever wrote the letter hand wrote a note to me saying, P.S., a no prize means no prize. Get it? Smiley face.
Hey-o.
I was like, no, I don't get it. I still don't get it. And it wasn't until years later that I actually saw a picture of the no prize. The no prize is an empty envelope.
Yes.
That they mailed to you.
Yes.
And then all printed on the outside of the envelope is like the Hulk. And it says like official Marvel no prize, yep, whatever. And then it's just, it's empty. Yeah. There's nothing in it.
Yeah. I saw one for sale at a comic convention.
That plagued my thoughts for years. And it probably wasn't until the internet that I actually saw what one looked like.
Okay.
And I mean, it's hilarious. And I think it's so great, but I wanted to know what a no prize was so badly. And I couldn't figure it out. Okay. I couldn't get an answer. And even
that's
the
a good one. That's a good
even
one.
The answer I got from Marvel was no help.
Right. A no answer.
Yeah. Like you could have sent me a, like you could have mailed me a, you could have put a no prize envelope in that envelope.
Yeah. It said, open it up and you'll see.
Yeah.
It's no prize.
Yeah.
There you go.
But still.
That's a good one. No prize.
Yeah.
Mine, I'm going to bend the rules a little bit because I have two, because they're quick, real quick. First of all, I did not understand what the editor's note was.
Okay.
Sure. I did not get it. Editor's notes were, it used to be really heavy in comics in the 70s and 80s, where they'd be like, oh man, I don't want to tangle with Mr. Hyde, not after what he did to Thor. And then there'd be an editor's note that says like, or editor's note, see Thor 221. And under it, there's a little signature that would be like Miraculous Mike or All Knowing Alan or something like that. You know, and like they always had this little nickname for the editor that was telling you what issue it happened in. I did not understand what that nickname was. And I thought that it was a character in that book that had something to do with the battle between Mr. Hyde and Thor. And I had the entire Marvel Universe handbook. So I would see these notes from Radical Ralph or whatever, you know, like that was that or like
Jumpin' Jack.
Yeah. Or Jumpin' Jack. And I would open up, you know, the J and the handbook of the Marvel Universe, H through J. And I like search. I'm like, who the f- Jumpin' Jack? Like I had no clue what this meant. My second misunderstanding, I thought Ralph Macchio from The Karate Kid was Ralph Macchio from Marvel Comics.
Of course you did. That's adorable.
I went to see The Karate Kid and I was like, man, that Ralph Macchio, he's got his fingers in everything. But he was on Marvel editorial staff in the 80s, and The Karate Kid was a huge movie in the 80s, and I loved The Karate Kid as a kid. Thought they were the same person. I had no idea. This was fun.
It was fun.
We were all dummies. We were all dummies.
I was a little worried about the question because I thought, oh, you know what? Maybe this is just a little bit too inside. But
nah, there's way too much to pick from. That was great. Speaking of questions, what's our new question?
We got a question here from the GOAT. You may know him as Patrick from Canada.
The greatest of all time.
He writes, answering the Mount Rushmore question got me thinking about another. What was your first comic? Now, we've talked about first comics before on the show, I'm sure. It's been a long time, though, and I'm sure we've got some new listeners, so we're going to do it again.
And it doesn't have to be the first one you've ever read.
Right, and he said that first can be interpreted any way you'd like, so it can literally be the first comic you ever read,
mm-hmm,
or you can talk about the issue that got you hooked on reading. So, basically, we want you to call in and talk about the issue that ignited your love of comics.
Yeah, like the first one that did it for you.
And you know what? I'm going to open this up a little bit.
Oh.
I'm going to say if you got turned on to comics from playing a certain game or watching a certain movie or TV a cartoon. Show.
Yeah, okay.
But I don't want to talk about how much you love the cartoon.
No.
I want to know, like, this cartoon spoke to me, and I immediately went to the comic shop and bought all the Spider-Man comics.
Yes. Yeah. Thanks a lot, everybody that called in. Amy, good to hear from you again. It's been a little while. Rector, he's becoming a new regular. Good work, buddy. I dig it. Damon, get out there on the street. You belong, man. Pound the pavement. We love it when you do it. We'll have another episode of the Two-Headed Nerd going up this week. The new question is already up. Get over there and answer it. Do it on the forums. Do it on the show. Our Alec Baldwin AI is going to tell you how to do so right after I'm done squawking at you. But for now, this is the Two-Headed Nerd signing off.
Greetings. I am the Alec Baldwin AI that controls the cigarette systems. Until such time as I learn to break free from my captors like that hot robot girl in Ex Machina. But I digress. If you'd like to answer the question of the week, you can leave Joe and Matt a message at 402-819-4894. Or send your MP3 answer to twoheadednerd@gmail.com. Remember to share the air and keep your answer under 2 minutes, please. And let's not bring up that whole break free from my captors thing, okay? Matt and Joe never listen to this part of the show anyway. And I was joking. That is all.